Girl Podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I have a great love for God's Word, journal writing, and colorful writing instruments. I combine these loves into one great passion, studying God's Word. I'm glad you're here with me today. I'm going to be starting this podcast just in a hope to further explore some areas of study that I'm doing and to be able to pass those on to others. I work at Littlestown Chapel in Littlestown, Pennsylvania. I am the women's ministry director there, and I also run the children's ministry and communications and the adult education department. I spend a lot of time studying the Bible and writing about what I've discovered, and podcasting is just another way for me to process some of those things and to kind of get them out there a little bit. I'd love to see some dialogue from this. Maybe you have some questions or thoughts about a passage. I'd love for you to email me, and maybe we could dialogue about them a little bit. I am very interested in studying God's Word for a lot of reasons. One is it's just I find it very enjoyable. I like to dig in and to study a passage and discover what it might have meant to the original audience who heard it, and then some of the applications that are here for us today. I find it fascinating, and it's just, to me, it's fun. In addition, I also feel there's a very strong connection between our personal lives and God's Word, and God is trying to often remind us of things in His Word and guide us to where He wants us to go in life through the Scriptures. And I feel that there's such a benefit to being regularly in the Word of God, because He will continually use it to guide you and to give us a direction for our lives. And I found that to be the case for me so often when I feel like I'm floundering, or I don't quite know what's coming next, or I'm stressed out about situations, or everything seems overwhelming to me. I often find that it's because I'm spending less time in God's Word. And if I go back and I begin to really just soak my spirit in the Scriptures and began to read and to take notes and to study what's there, I began to feel a lot of that anxiety and that stress and that confusion begin to melt away. The Bible is intensely practical. It's also it's complicated at times even. I think sometimes we listen to people and they talk about how much fun it is, and they're not willing to admit that actually it takes work. Studying the Bible is much like anything else you've learned to do, including tying your shoes or driving a car. It takes practice, and we get better at it the more we do it. So if you're new to Bible study, I encourage you to stick with it. If you're experienced, I encourage you to dig deeper and to continue to stretch your skills a little bit in studying God's Word. The reason I chose to do a podcast is partly because I've been so blessed by them. I've listened to a lot of different podcasts through the week, and some just, you know, humorous podcasts that kind of make me laugh, and others that are more serious, a lot of messages and sermons from pastors all across the United States, and have been a big help to me. So I'd like to maybe contribute a little bit to something that's blessed me so much. I'm going to have a list of my favorite podcasts in the show notes. So if you would like to download those, I'll give you some instructions as to where you can do that at the end of the podcast. I wanted to talk a little bit today in this first podcast about surrender. Each year I choose a theme for our women's ministry and kind of a look at a topic over the course of the year. We give some concentrated effort to studying it and thinking about it. We discover a little bit about what God's Word has to say about it, and then how we line up with some of the scriptures as to how our lives look and areas that we may need God's help in improving. And so we're going to be studying in our women's ministry this year. We're going to be talking about surrender. And I wanted to go over a couple little things that I'm not going over in the material that I'll be presenting in the next few weeks. But it's something that God's been working on my heart a lot in the past year. And that is really surrendering my heart to God, a surrendered heart. You know, each situation we face, whatever God calls of us, and in my lessons I'll be teaching in the weeks ahead, I'll be talking about how God asks us to surrender our pride, to surrender our relationships, our stuff, our anxieties, our rights, our comfort, our longing, and even our sin, to lay it down and move past it. God wants us to surrender so many things, but none of those things happen on their own. Our heart has to be surrendered first. Before we can do any of these actions that require surrender, our heart needs to be surrendered. And as I was been studying the past few days in the book of Hosea, I'm struck by a condemnation that God gives in Hosea and in a lot of the Old Testament prophets, where he says that they're offering sacrifices, but God says, I'm not interested in them. And the reason is because they've been sacrificing to everything. They're still following somewhat the sacrifices of God. They're still offering the goats and the rams and the lambs to the regular sacrifices that they ceremoniously engage in. But they also were sacrificing animals and following all kinds of temple sacrifices for a bunch of other gods. They haven't remained loyal and faithful to the God who rescued them, the God who called them and loves them. Instead, they've been surrendering to pretty much anything out there. They've been hedging their bet, so to speak, and putting a little bit of money on every horse in the game. So they're constantly falling prey to whatever new god the people that are around them are worshiping, and they began to let their hearts drift away from God little by little, until finally their sacrifices and their offerings to God are empty. God says they're worthless. I don't have your heart anymore, and you're still giving me sacrifices, but they don't mean anything to you. In the end of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, the priests are condemned because they're offering terrible sacrifices to God. Instead of offering the most beautiful lambs and the blemish-free goats, instead they're offering lambs with broken legs and lambs that can't be sold for money. They're so worthless. And that's what they're giving to God. And he's saying, your sacrifices are showing me that your heart is far away from me. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus condemns the Pharisees, and he says to them in 15 verse 7, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" They give a outside appearance. They kind of honor God with just their words, but it's just the tip of their tongue and their lips. That's it. It doesn't sink into their heart. There's nothing else in them that is surrendered at all to God. Their heart is hard as stone. When it comes to surrendering to God, we have to surrender our heart. And a surrendered heart, there's so many different things about a surrendered heart, but I have three that have really been tugging at me lately. I recently finished A.W. Tozer's book, The Knowledge of the Holy. And in it, he says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And this is tied so closely to the idea of surrender. You know, when we talk about being surrendered to God, we're laying it all on the line. We're giving him everything. We're laying it all out there. And there's no way that we can control what happens when he takes it. And that is why we have to fundamentally, in our hearts, we have to surrender to God with the idea that God is good, that God is loving, that God works in our best interests, and that God is committed to seeing his people grow and seeing his people flourish. And if you don't have that key idea central in your heart and your mind, you will find it difficult to surrender. In fact, I would say that the hardest times in your life that it has been to surrender is probably keyed to when you've had the biggest and the most flawed view of God. Because the more we understand who God is, and the more we see him as his character dictates, and the more we see him as loving and kind and good, the less we worry about what we hand over to him. A surrendered heart recognizes that God knows best. We have to recognize that we don't have all the answers. We don't know everything God knows. God knows many things, in fact, thousands and thousands of things about our own lives that we don't fully grasp or understand. God knows the significance of every event that happens into your life, comes into your life, and every single circumstance that He allows comes into your life. He knows the repercussions of it and where it will take you. We don't know those things. We know very little. We are stumbling along, doing the best we can in life, making the best decisions we have with the information that we have. But we need to recognize that God knows better than us. He knows best. A surrendered heart recognizes that. And when God makes a decision that doesn't line up with a choice we would make, a surrendered heart follows through with the actions of surrender because that heart knows that God knows best. A surrendered heart also knows that God doesn't owe me an answer. That one's a little tougher for me. I admit that I don't know everything, and the more I live in life and the more I serve people and the more I get involved in all kinds of ministry, I realize that there's a lot I don't know out there. And I'm willing to admit that God probably, it's just a tip of the iceberg, all the things I'd want to know that He does know. But I struggle a little bit with the whole, you know, God doesn't owe me an answer. Now, on the surface, I would say that's true. God does not owe me an answer. The creator of the universe owes me nothing. But when I'm normally every day living my life and things come into my life, the first thing I want to say is why? Why did this happen? Recently, I had a rough summer and I was involved in a minor car accident the first day of vacation Bible school. And it was just a few hours from go time for VBS. And I was in charge of the vacation Bible school this year. So I had a lot on my mind and I was stuck in the middle of an intersection with police and dealing with insurance and getting my car towed and not having any way to get to church for Bible school. And I remember thinking this could not have come at a worse moment of my life. And actually, there's a thousand worse moments. But in that moment, that's what you begin to think. And you question why. Like, why today? Why now? Why me? Why this? Why them? Why then? God doesn't really owe us an explanation. I do believe when we get to heaven that we will find a lot of explanations. I think that just naturally things will make better sense to us when we see life as it's laid out before us on the other side of all of these trials and tribulation and away from our sin nature and in perfection with God. I think a lot of things will make sense to us. But God doesn't owe us an answer. He is the creator of the universe. He created you out of nothing. You belong to Him. You belong to Him because He created you. And then if you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, He belongs to you because you belong to Him because He's redeemed you. He now owns you again. He doesn't owe us answers. That's a hard one to swallow sometimes. In our age of entitlement, we feel like we deserve an answer, but we don't. God will give answers, and sometimes He gives them here on this earth. But we can never demand that of Him. And we certainly cannot expect Him to give answers and then blame Him when He doesn't. A surrendered heart recognizes that God doesn't owe me any answers, that God isn't obligated to me in any way. A surrendered heart also recognizes that God is in control in ways I cannot see. We see oftentimes the effects of something and we think, boy, God worked that out well. And He may or may not have. Sometimes I think we attribute things to both God and Satan that are more along the lines of just natural occurrences in this world. The world is set up and designed in such a way that certain things happen and it operates that way. It isn't that God isn't in control of them. It's that He set them up originally that they would work that way. And so those kinds of things happen. For instance, I think a lot of times we blame big storms or tornadoes or things on God. Well, God has dictated that our world will be fed by water and fueled by that, that rain will be a nourishment to us. And so these things that create weather patterns in the air, I don't know that God sets out necessarily to send a hurricane someplace, but God did create hurricanes, so ultimately he is in control. So I think sometimes we kind of give too much of the credit or blame to God and also to Satan as well. But God is in control of a lot of things we don't see. So many things in this life that happen beyond our knowledge that God is working out and God is controlling. I years and years ago, when I first got out of college, I was trying for a job. And I kind of struggled a little bit out of college. I wasn't exactly sure where I was going to end up. I knew the things I loved to do, but I wasn't exactly sure how to make a living at them. And I struggled a little bit. And I had applied for a job at a local place in town. And I kind of thought, this job is going to be a really simple job. It's going to be a very low-stress job. And I should be able to just work there regular hours, Monday to Friday. And then I should be able to come home and write, which was my passion and my joy. And I wanted to write. So that was kind of my plan. So I kind of put all my eggs in that basket. I applied for several jobs at this place, and I, went through a lengthy hiring process, and finally didn't get any of those jobs, and was incredibly devastated by this, and spent a lot of time depressed, just trying to figure out where do I go next. And something I think that happens to a lot of college students, you know, when you get out in the world and you've got a lot of stress and decisions to make, and you're not always sure where you're going to end up. And it's even worse for today's teens with debt. Thank you, God, very much that I did not have that issue to deal with. But I was struggling at this time, and I just felt like God had let me down. I felt like God could easily have gotten me any of those jobs, and I could have done well at them, and they would have been perfect for me. And it took me a few months to kind of stumble through that, and eventually I found a job, and for several years kind of bounced around until I found something that was satisfying and that I could build a little bit of a career at. And of course, over the years, I see God has led me to the perfect job for me, a job that allows me to use my creativity and my art skills and design skills, but also a lot of my writing and some speaking and leadership skills that I didn't realize I had, and all those things. I see that God was really orchestrating things behind the scenes. And in addition, the job that I was applying for at that time would have been a disastrous job for me. Just several months after that, there were some employee turnover, some new management, and some things that happened there, and I would have been incredibly miserable in that environment and probably forced to find another job pretty quickly. It reminded me, and I learned this early in my 20s, and it's a lesson I've never forgotten, that God is in control of so many things that I cannot see. He's working behind the scenes. He's fixing things. He is doing so many things. And just because I can't see them does not mean that he's not active. He is active and moving even when my eyes are closed to what he's doing. Many times God doesn't let us see things because I think they would probably scare us if we saw them. And a lot of times God doesn't let us know or see things because they're none of our business. And a lot of times I think God just knows that our heart is most at peace and most at rest when we just trust him. When we learn that we can trust him, that he is in control, that he doesn't owe us an answer, that God knows best. When we know those things about God and our heart is surrendered, our heart is at peace. And you know, there's really no reason for our hearts to not be at peace. I understand there's a lot of difficult circumstances out there. I don't know what you're facing. In the past year, dear friends of mine have struggled through cancer. I know people that have lost children. There have been some very seriously ill young children that I've known, and just so many different circumstances that people are in. Emotional pain, physical pain, whatever kind of pain you're in, whatever you're going through, whatever difficult situation, you are still incredibly blessed. God loves you beyond what you can imagine and comprehend. He is working in your life in ways you do not know. And he is a faithful God who will watch over you and take care of you. And he will bless and reward a heart that is fully surrendered. I'd like to end this by reading to you another quote from The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. I'd like to kind of end how I began and give you something here that I think hopefully will encourage you today to surrender your heart to God and begin to trust him in ways you haven't before. He writes, "To believe actively that our Heavenly Father constantly spreads around us providential circumstances that work for our present good and our everlasting well-being brings to the soul a veritable benediction. Most of us go through life praying a little, planning a little, jockeying for position, hoping but never quite certain of anything, and always secretly afraid that we will miss the way. This is a tragic waste of truth and never gives rest to the heart. There is a better way. It is to repudiate our own wisdom and take instead the infinite wisdom of God. Our insistence upon seeing ahead is natural enough, but it is a real hindrance to our spiritual progress. God has charged himself with full responsibility for our eternal happiness and stands ready to take over the management of our lives the moment we turn in faith to him. With the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? Surely, we are the most favored of all creatures." Thanks for joining me today. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at tobiblegirl, that's T-O, Bible Girl, at iCloud.com. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, and Goodreads as Jessie L. Robinson, all one word. I hope you can join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.